sure exactly when Isaiah wrote this. We know when the call came to Isaiah. He was playing when he wrote it. And he told us that the call came to him, or he surrendered to the call, the day or the year that Uzziah died. There's a lot of the prophets that we find. For instance, Amos called out of the herd. You saw Hosea. I couldn't think of his name for a minute. And you seen God called him and used him. And it specified the year and a time when God came to him. And one used his marriage situation to represent Israel and God. And then, of course, you saw Ezekiel. And Ezekiel pointed to his visions, the year, the month, and day. And different times, we find different ones. Jeremiah was another one that recorded on the 13th day of reign of Josiah, I believe. And of course, we know in chapter 1, verse 5, that the Bible said even why Jeremiah was in the womb, God already knew what he was going to do with him. That goes back to the sermon we preached Sunday. Had a couple comments on it, and someone said, well, I believe that that God knows those will be saved from the beginning. I believe that too. But then they also, they were talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that if you study it, you'll find out that the Lamb's Book of Life is a book of life, but it's referenced as the Lamb's Book of Life when all the dead and all the lost people are gone. And only those who are alive have life. They have it because of the Lamb. There's no other reason they're there. But anyway, getting back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Here we find something about Uzziah. Now let me tell you a little bit about Uzziah. Uzziah was a very popular king. He was one that was well-liked. He came to the throne when he was 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Now, in verse number 3, he said 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Then if you look down in verse number 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So first of all, he looked to God for direction through Zechariah to understand the visions and understand the purpose that God had for him. And so Uzziah was a very, very popular king among God's people. Look, if you would, in verse 6. He went forth, he warred a war against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneth, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod and among Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, and dwelt in Gibeah and the Meunimites. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. So here we find that he was a very popular person because he began to build walls. He began to make Jerusalem great again. He began to fortify. If you look in verse number 9, the Bible says that he built towers in Jerusalem at the corner of gate and the valley gate and turning of the wall, and he fortified them. And so he fortified the city of Jerusalem. And he built and he began to make Jerusalem strong again and began to build armies. The Bible says in verse 10, and he built towers in the desert where he could watch in safety of the country. He digged many wells, had much cattle in low country and in the plains. And last part of that verse said he loved husbandmen. In other words, he loved farmers. He wanted people to eat well. He wanted to provide for themselves. And so he had a lot of farmers to grow fruit and grow vegetables and to be able to produce where Jerusalem could be made great again. And here we are. We see him. He's fortified the walls. He's tore down walls of the enemies. He's strengthened himself against the enemies of God of Jerusalem. And then the Bible says in verse number 11 and 12 that it talks about his fighting men and how great and how large his company was that he had in fighting men. And then verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So God was blessing. God was helping here, and Uzziah was doing all the right things for Jerusalem to make Jerusalem great again. And then we find that the Bible says in verse 16, but when he was strong in his heart, he was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So something happened when that happened to Uzziah. Here he was, a very popular king. He'd reigned 50 years or so and reigned a total of 52 years. We don't know exactly what year this was that he did this. But what he did was he started out very well. He was listening to God. And he was obeying him, and he was getting counsel on what he should do. But then as he began to build, he began to get strong within himself. Israel began to get strong within himself. When you read the book of Isaiah, he was preaching to a people that was a people that was a hard of hearing. They worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were a people that went through rituals of religion, yet they failed to worship God. There were people that didn't realize how far they'd gotten away from God, and yet they were prospering so well, everybody was dull of hearing. As a matter of fact, God told Isaiah there that the people had ears, but they'd been stopped up, and they wasn't hearing. They had hearts, and they wasn't understanding, and eyes, and they wasn't seeing what they needed to see. And I believe that we could make a good comparison to America. We did the same thing. You know, I like many of the things that President Trump did. I like a lot of his policies. I think his policies was good for this country. I think these policies was necessary. But listen, if we're not careful, we build all our hope in President Trump instead of building it in God. And people had built their hope in Uzziah. Uzziah was there for them. He provided. Their economy was going well. Their armies were going well. Their enemies was leaving them alone. And he's one of the greater kings next to David and maybe Solomon that there was in Israel. But then we find that something happened. He got swelled up in his own pride. And what he did was he went in to the temple and he went in to offer incense. Now there's a problem with that. A king was not allowed to do that. That was a priest that had been consecrated to do that task. That was his responsibility to do that, one of the sons of Aaron. It was not Uzziah. But because of the pride Uzziah had, then that's what happened. Look on in your Bibles. The Bible says that when he was strong in his heart, he lifted up to his destruction. He transgressed against the Lord his God in verse 16 and went to the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now, so therefore, there was some priests that had enough gumption to tell Uzziah that he was stepping out of his bounds. He was usurping authority that was not scriptural authority. And by the way, can I say this? The destruction of most of our churches anymore is because people try to usurp authority that's not scriptural authority. Amen. And so therefore, when we look, we find that unscriptural authority always leads and always causes things to go against God. Now, look on if you would. In verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence, yea, and himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leopard until the day of his death. And he dwelt in several houses, being a leopard, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over his king's house, the king's house, judging the people of Israel. Then verse number 23 refers back to the day, the year that Isaiah was referencing. So Uzziah slept with his fathers. And the end of that says, Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Now let me point something out here before I go further. Notice here that Uzziah, being a good king, but what he did was his pride allowed him to overstep his means. He usurped authority that was not given to him as a king, but only to the priest. Then if you look, his son, look in verse number 2, in chapter 27, when his son began to reign, because his dad had lost reverence to the house of God, and even though his dad was a good king, his dad had got swelled up in pride, he began to exalt himself in his eyes instead of humbling himself before God. And notice here that Jotham was 25 years old in verse 1 when he began to reign. In verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. So now we have someone. His son comes along, and because he misbehaved in the house of God, because he tried to usurp authority he didn't have, and God struck him with leprosy, and he was cast out of the temple, and he had to go to a house, and he had to stay isolated from people because he was a leopard. Now his son comes, and he tries to serve God without going to the house of God. You know how that ended up? The people did corruptly. You want to know what happened? Then you'll find, and by the way, when you look at this, what you see is a generation deterioration. When people began to lose their place in the house of God and the work of God, their children would suffer for it. Then you'll find their children, they pretend to serve God without going to the house of God. I know several people that they were brought up in church, but now they're nowhere to be found in church. You look at them, you talk to them, and we can serve God just as well outside the church. That's what Jotham thought. But did you notice what the Bible said? Yet the people did corruptly. Now look at Jotham's son. Talk about deterioration. Look in verse 28. So when Jotham slept in verse 9 of chapter 27, look who his son was. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He had total disregard for the things of God and the house of God. And not only did he have a total disregard for it, he tried his best to block entrance to the house of God for people. And thank God that God moved upon his son Hezekiah and turned his whole heart around from his dad. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that there is a generational deterioration when people doesn't respect, honor, and reverence the house of God like they should. Their children, their grandchildren, and it will show in the ranks to come. But anyway, getting back to Uzziah, let me say this. Israel had built, and so here Isaiah was, and it was during the year Uzziah died, and I'm sure the country was grieving. I'm sure the hearts were broken because in their mind he'd been a very good king. He'd served him well. He'd provided for him well. And he made Jerusalem great again. But what you find is that Isaiah, he got a vision. And he looked, going back to chapter 6, if you'll turn back to chapter 6, he got a vision and he saw the Lord. And he saw the Lord lifted up in his house, in his temple. And the Bible says, upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In other words, he saw God for who God was. He saw the seraphim worshiping God. And he saw two things about God that was being exemplified during this vision that he got into heaven. And one was the holiness of God and the serpent crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And the other was the glory of God. And when he began to see that, now here he was, probably grieving the death of their king. But now he looked and there was Uzziah, a king. But now there was Uzziah the leper. Then there was Uzziah the corpse. All the hope that they'd put in Uzziah, and in the meantime, instead of people looking to God, they had gotten a place where they were looking to Uzziah. Their hope was in Uzziah. And yet what happened when Uzziah was taken away, I'm sure all of them wondered what was going to happen. Well, we know what happened because we went back to Chronicles. People did get more corruptly all the time. They got farther away from God. And I'll tell you what. You wonder what's happening now. That we, everywhere you see corruption. It's amazing. And the amazing thing is when you see it covered and hidden and so forth. But what I want you to understand is this. When sometimes God causes a death of one to make you look to see the real one. Uzziah was nothing but a king, a man, who overstepped his bound and become a leper. He couldn't even come around anybody the last years of his life. And then he died. And so what God did was he caused the death of Uzziah, but it caused Isaiah to look up and see God for who he was. Now listen to me. You will never do what God wants you to do until you get a vision of who God really is. They didn't have to trust in Uzziah. They just had to trust in God. And folks, Donald Trump is not our hope. Neither is many others. And sometimes what God does is he removes something and you say, why in the world did he allow the ones to reign that's reigning now and causing all these things and all these ungodly policies that's been passed and destruction everywhere you're looking upon our country? Maybe it's to get us to look up and see our real help. We have one place for help. And that's God himself. Now, did I like his policies? I like most of his policies I liked. Did I like some of his language? No. Did I like some of where he just continually talked when he should have been quiet? No. But I liked his policies. But I really think that he needed a heart change by God. He needed to understand who God really was. I think part of his problem was, just like Uzziah, I think he had a little too much pride. He couldn't take someone saying something about him without firing right back, regardless of what it was. But I appreciate, and there's no question, hands down, who I would vote for if he ran against this administration again. I'm not saying that. My point being is, he is not our hope. we have to see God. And in God, and whenever Isaiah got to look at Uzziah there as he died, and when all the country was saying, what are we going to do? Where's going? He got to see the real hope. And so therefore, what he did was, when he saw God, Uzziah didn't look so great. He was just another instrument of God that God used. And God can raise up any instrument to use it. Amen. And so therefore, he saw him in his glory and honor. Now, the second thing he had to see was, and anytime you get a real vision of God, you get a vision of yourself. And the first thing that he said was, whoa, am I? I am a man of unclean lips. And he talked about the people. Evidently, I don't know what was in Isaiah's past. I don't know what his lifestyle was. I don't know if he used a lot of profanity. I don't know if he said things that he shouldn't be saying. I don't know what the deal was with Isaiah. But I know immediately, not only did he see, and any time we come into the presence of God, the first thing we do is we see our sinfulness. And then if you notice here, it went directly to the sin that beset Isaiah. And Isaiah didn't say, well, Lord, I know I'm wrong, and I know I fall short, and Lord, forgive me if I fall short. Isaiah went right to the point. He said, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I want to confess my sin. I've got some lips that's unclean. And not only me, but our whole country, our whole society has gotten where they're saying things about you, and they're using language, and I don't know what they were doing, but whatever it was, they were unclean lips. And so the first thing he did was he had to confess his sin when he saw God. And I'm going to tell you something. Until you see God for who he is, and until you see you for who you are. And I'll tell you this. I've had people sometimes that's had to come and deal with an issue before the church. I've had some of them come and brokenhearted and just confess what was going on in their life. Then I've had others that come up. They say, well, if I did anything, one time I stopped a guy and I said, well, that's not going to work. You know what you did. So you either confess what you did, or you just have to have a seat. Because if I did anything, it's not confession. And I'll tell you this, when you get before the face of God and you get in the presence of God, the first thing you'll do is you'll know exactly what your problem is. Every one of us has sins that besets us. And I could start right here and take Junior and Darlene and go around. And listen, it may be things completely different. But I'll tell you this, when you get in the presence of God, you'll see your problem. Because I tell you what, any time that I begin to try to mean business with God, the first thing I got to do is the Holy Spirit of God, he points something out to me. And he said, whoa, let's stop right here, young man. Get this thing right. Clean this up. If you don't clean this up, it's not going any further. Our conversation is over. And so what happened was, Isaiah then, he said, whoa, is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And so there as he begins and he humbles himself and he makes a confession, then what happened, that serpent takes a coal from off the altar and he goes and touches his lips. I've heard all people try to preach all kinds of things in that, but I believe it just gets simply as this. When you confess your sin and mean business with God, and you humble yourself, God forgives you your iniquity. And that's exactly what happened to Isaiah. And so he said, okay, the serpent said, your iniquity has been forgiven. And so here, Isaiah then, after he gets right with God, and by the way, you'll never do nothing for God to amount to anything until you get right with God. You got to see him for who he is. Then you got to see you for who you are. Then you have to see the task ahead. When he saw that, he looked out and he realized that it was more than him. His whole country was in problem. And folks, our country is in a problem. I'm not talking financial, because I do believe we're going to suffer financially. I'm not talking inflation. I do believe we're going to face inflation. I'm not talking about overcrowding, allowing the gates to be open. I believe that that's going to create all kinds of problems down the road. Very present and enduring problems. I'm talking about a nation that's forgetting God. And somebody still needs to sound the alarm. Somebody needs to tell people that they need to get right with God. Isaiah began to preach. He began to tell, and there were still people with heavy ears and their eyes would not see, and they would not hear, and they would had hearts that wouldn't understand. Oh, they worshiped God with their lips, but their heart was so far from God. And so then he saw the condition. And he said, Lord, who are you going to send? Or the Lord said, who shall I send? Then he realized something. He realized that he had a duty to God. When he saw God for who he was, he saw how God had forgiven him, as unworthy as he was. Then it made him realize that he had a duty to give back and pay it forward. I watched something the other day where this lady and her, I guess it was her husband, they put $100 in an envelope and had wrote on it, have a nice day or blessed day or something, and just stuck it on the car under the windshield wiper of this car. They didn't know who it was. They just picked a car randomly. And this woman come out, and they were there. They were filming it from a distance, and she had opened the thing. She saw the $100. And she looked around, and she folded it back, and she took it over here, and she had a smile on her face, but she took it over here, and she saw this car that had dents and beats in it. And she stuck it on the windshield and walked off. Some people calls that paying it forward. But folks, when we see what God has done for us, and we see people that's got a greater need than us, we need to pay it forward. And we need to realize that we all have a duty. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not called to the foreign fields. Not everybody will be there. And some people may go. Some people may pastor for a while. Some people may do this. There's all kinds of jobs. Then God may take them somewhere else. I told one time Dad was struggling with his church. And he said, and I told him, I said, Dad, I said, I'm not going to try to tell you what to do, because your church is not my business. But I said, you need to understand something. Do you believe those seven churches in Asia was real churches? Yeah. How many of them are in existence today? For whatever reason, God closed the doors on some. And you know, I was thinking about their church. I think they started 21 churches from that church. Is that right? 21? Something like that. And I thought, you know, you may close the door, but the church never dies, because look at all the ministries that started beside of it. And sometimes God uses someone for a trip. And, you know, I believe when I went to foreign fields, I went there and I believe God used me. I preached for a week and I saw 139 people saved. Got to baptize 36 of them in Grand Felix River. But I knew that was not where God wanted me to be. But when I come back home, I had a whole different appreciation of America. But I also had it also grieves me. Because there I saw people for the first time in their life. They walked 2 and 3 days solid at night just to be able to sit on logs and stones to hear the preaching. And they sat for 10 and 12 hours except for one meal during the day. 10 and 12 hours, darling, they sat on a log. Women fed their babies while I was preaching. Probably had 36, 38 women breastfeeding their babies. Didn't think a thing about it. They sit there and just sit quiet. Didn't have people jumping up and running in the bathroom constantly. Didn't have people looking at their watch. None of them had watches. Wouldn't look at the sun. They sit there and earnestly contended. And we would preach 2.5, 3 hours at a time. And they'd sit and listen. I had a couple translators, and they translate in a couple different languages because we had different languages there. And then see them just come, running out of the aisle, getting saved. And the first thing they do is run home and go and get the families and bring back to the service the next night. And brother, my heart grieved when I look at America. Everybody you meet here serves God in their lips. But we're seeing the judgments of God coming upon this nation. And folks, we can't build our hope in any one man. Our hope has got to be in God. Amen. And in Him is who we trust. But we, in the meantime, it takes people going out, committing the responsibility of their duties. And that's what the church is all about. Going out, trying to reach others, and trying to rescue the perishing. So, friend, you got to see God for who He is, see you for who you are, and you got to see your country for what it is. And then you got to ask the question, whom shall I send? Here am I, God. Use me. Amen. Let's stand your song. Maybe tonight the Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come. However God may lead you, would you obey Him?